This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. Another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Jennifer Kuiper. We have 46 degrees in Chicago under fair skies, and we have already hit our high of 46 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour, presented by Republic Bank of Chicago.
Coming up on today's Noon Business Hour, it's the day after the big game. Do you know where your coworkers are? How to stop police from asking for videos from your Ring doorbell camera, and what the latest manufacturing numbers say about the economy.
I know you're right here.
That's right.
So I know you somehow managed to make it in here today, even though 17 million people expected to miss work today because of the Super Bowl fever. Well, let's talk about that. Another big absentee day. Scott Sargis is joining us, founder and president of Strategic Search Corp. Scott, so this is a big day. People party, obviously, for the Super Bowl, and then they just decide, forget it. I'm taking a three-day weekend.
Right. Did your team win at Jennifer or Cisco?
My teams weren't in it.
Yeah. My team didn't play because I'm a Bears fan, Scott.
Yeah,
I'm a loyal
too.
Company man.
Hey, just think about it. Either one of those quarterbacks could have been with the Bears if they knew what they were doing, right?
We're playing the long game here, Scott. We're going to be just fine.
So, I mean, one of the big things to do, that Joyce Event Maroney, who was the executive director of the Workforce Institute of Corona, said that organizations that proactively plan will be rewarded with fewer absences. So what I recommend to companies is to plan ahead and expect this as a phenomenon.
So what do you tell them then? Just plan for a three-day holiday? Let everyone stay home?
Right. Well, to take it a step further, what I would recommend is if it's a big organization, have a formal focus group, or if it's a smaller company, just put together an ad hoc focus group of your workers and ask them, what do you recommend to do so that we can not lose productivity during this time? Because workers are the best indicator of ideas moving forward.
So, Scott, you mentioned that companies should be proactive, but are they being proactive? Are enough of them? And who especially should be proactive? The smaller businesses?
Well, to answer your question, Jennifer, companies, unfortunately, are not proactive. And everybody should be proactive, especially small companies, because losing one worker, if you're a 20-person firm, is going to hurt you more than a major Fortune 100 company. So, but, you know, it's hard to do, and it's the medicine that you have to take. But planning ahead is the key. This is a phenomenon that's happening time and time again. So companies need to take the medicine, and they need to push themselves to plan ahead.
Are there other events this year equivalent to Super Bowl where we could see more of this?
Yes, with the U.S. presidential campaign, as contentious as it is, and then the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, both of those should repeat this phenomenon.
That's Scott Sargis and founder, president of Strategic Search Corp. Thanks for joining us. Coming up, what the latest manufacturing numbers say about the economy. Reports on manufacturing and construction spending are out today. Let's discuss those and key items for the week ahead with Gus Fauché, chief economist, PNC Financial Services. Gus, what are we seeing as far as global manufacturing and especially here in the U.S.?
Well, in the United States, we actually saw a little bit of an improvement in manufacturing. We had some softness in 2019 related to slower global economic growth, the trade tensions with China, the problems at Boeing. I do expect that we'll continue to see softness in manufacturing in the near term, just because of all the uncertainty that's surrounding Boeing and now the coronavirus. That being said, I do think that industrial activity will be a positive for U.S. economic growth later in 2020.
Do you think any one area of the sector will be hit pretty hard due to the coronavirus?
I think the biggest impact is going to be on heavy equipment, particularly that related to energy exploration and development. So we see oil prices declining because of fears about reduced economic growth, so we're going to have less energy production, less energy exploration in the United States and globally, and that's going to be a big drag on heavy equipment.
Talk about the difficulty in projecting what will happen globally with the economy, also here at home, given the fact that we just don't know what's going to happen with coronavirus. I mean, it could have a huge impact on the global economy, and maybe it will end up just being a blip.
That's right. And we've seen similar situations with things like SARS and H1N1, where there is a lot in the initial stages. There's reduced economic activity, but it gets through pretty quickly. That being said, there's just a huge amount of uncertainty out there, how much it spreads in China, how much it spreads to the rest of the world. Obviously, the Chinese economy is the second largest in the world after the United States. So perhaps if there's a cure or a vaccine, then the problems go away relatively quickly. But there's certainly the potential out there for huge economic disruptions.
Later on this week, we'll get some information on trade, the latest data. Talk about what we expect, and then maybe now that a phase one deal with China is done, if the expectations are changing.
So I would expect to see actually a little bit of an increase in the trade deficit in December. We did see a big decline in the trade deficit in the fourth quarter. Exports were way up in part because of the apparent phase one trade deal. That being said, I don't think we're going to see the same improvement in 2020. There are some positives, but now the question is how much if economic growth in China slows, then that's going to be a drag on U.S. exports to the country. So certainly that's a concern, and I don't think trade is going to do much one way or the other for the U.S. economy in 2020.
Gus, the government's monthly jobs report comes out on Friday. What do you expect out of that, or what would you like to see out of it?
I expect to see a little bit of a pickup in job growth to about 175,000 for January, which is a good solid number above the pace needed to keep up with the unemployment rate, which I expect to see hold steady at 3.5%. The labor market's in very good shape. Consumers are spending. The survey was taken before the impact of coronavirus. The one question is, are we starting to see some of the impact of the Boeing production cuts shift to aerospace manufacturing? Boeing has said they're not going to lay off any workers, but some of their suppliers are. And so we could start to see the beginning of some job losses in aerospace because of Boeing.
What are we seeing as far as wage growth? I know we had some good wage growth for a while. Is that trend continuing?
We did see some slower wage growth in 2019 compared to what we had in 2018. That being said, I do expect to see stronger wage growth this year. It's a tight job market. Employers are bidding up wages. Lots of people are getting pay increases. And then we also have minimum wage increases taking effect in many states. So I would expect that the January numbers are going to look pretty good for wage growth. And then I would expect to see a little bit better wage growth this year compared to what we had last year.
Gus Fauché, always good information. Thank you. Gus is chief economist at PNC Financial Services.
Up next, the spreading impact of the coronavirus on the energy markets.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The coronavirus taking a toll on China's economy. That is having a ripple effect on world energy markets. Let's get the latest now from Patrick DeHaan, senior petroleum analyst at GasBuddy.com here in Chicago. Patrick, let's see. Oil today, right about $50. Earlier, it dipped down into the $49 range. Seems like $60 a barrel oil is definitely a thing of the past.
Yeah, it's certainly a surprising start to the new year after the Iran tensions flared up. WTI posted gains up to $64 a barrel. Here we are just a few weeks later, really, and WTI now struggling to hold on to that $50 mark. In fact, just earlier this morning, touching $49, and it could go lower as the situation in China continues to deteriorate.
Yeah, when we heard last week about so many airlines canceling all these flights to China, I'm guessing that is at least part of what's going on here on the oil markets.
Well, certainly. That's the initial tip-off to demand that it's going to send lower. But once we start to see the news, social media certainly making the situation worse, Americans tend to stay closer to home when they become fearful of an event like this. And that's kind of the worry here, is that you'll see demand destruction in the U.S. But not only that, we're dealing with persistent headwinds. Temperatures usually among the lowest this time of year, and that keeps Americans close to home as well. So really, demand is going to be struggling. And then, of course, the situation in China is going to make things worse.
So with demand down, what does that mean for exploration? Because that could affect future, what we see ahead.
Well, it's looking fairly bleak right now for oil and gas companies. In fact, a lot of those on Wall Street now calling for getting out of some of the shares of some of these large players. And certainly it's going to mean a slash to these exploration budgets. Oil companies and their stocks are going to struggle until the situation is resolved.
Saw some low prices last week. How are we looking this week at the pumps?
Well, Chicago's average now among the lowest it's been since March. Average in Chicagoland just $2.67 a gallon. And it could go much lower here, maybe as much as 20 to 40 cents a gallon lower if this situation with the coronavirus continues to spread.
Now, we had the gasoline tax go way up here in Illinois, and there's a big fear we were never going to see anything under $3 a gallon ever again. And yet we haven't seen that. Is that in large part because these oil prices just haven't stayed above a certain level?
That's really it. The threshold is change versus last year. And you make a good point there. Chicago's average today about 30 cents a gallon higher than last year, but most of that, 20 cents a gallon, really due to the state gasoline tax. And now with this coronavirus battering the price of oil, there now opens a door that we could potentially, in some of the suburbs, see prices at least briefly at some stations fall under that $2 mark.
Talk about how here in America, we've just become such an oil-producing nation. That must change things. When you have something going on in China, or you have something going on in Saudi Arabia or Iran, tension in the Middle East, it just doesn't have the same impact that it would have even 10 years ago.
Yeah, that insulating blanket that the U.S. now has is perhaps more insulating than ever before. The U.S. now producing 13 million barrels of oil every day. And a situation like this now, OPEC is openly mulling over an additional production cut in light of the situation. The U.S. continues to move forward with production, and that keeps prices lower.
Always good to have you with us. Patrick DeHaan, he is Senior Petroleum Analyst at GasBuddy.com. Still ahead here on the Noon Business Hour. Taking a pass when law enforcement wants your Ring doorbell video.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being with us. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Jennifer Kuiper. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Owners of Ring doorbells can now block police departments from sending notifications asking for video from their devices.
It's Doc Picker Monday. We'll get a pair of ideas from an investing pro.
One person is dead. Two others, including an Illinois state trooper, injured in an overnight accident on I-57.
Closing arguments are taking place today at the presidential impeachment trial.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 187 points. The NASDAQ up 120. The S&P is up 26. And oil is down 2.25%.
AccuWeather says some sun followed by clouds and mild this afternoon. A high 46 at the lakefront to 50 at some inland suburbs. We have 46 degrees at O'Hare and Midway, 42 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago.
Markets are gaining ground today. We're joined by Paul Nolte, Portfolio Manager, Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. Paul, what's your take on what you're seeing in the markets today?
Well, it's a little bit of a snapback from Friday's big sell-off. I think going into the weekend, nobody really wanted to hold equities, not being very sure what would happen with additional issues around the coronavirus. And with the Chinese market closed, now that China is open, the Chinese bank has put a lot of money into their financial system. We're getting at least a little bit of stabilization in the early going.
What's taking a hit and what's performing particularly well today?
Today, at least, I think we're getting a snapback from a lot of those companies that were really impacted initially from the news. So if you take a look at the travel companies or airlines, Delta Airlines, Carnival Cruise, to a certain extent also Starbucks, McDonald's, which have closed facilities there. So we're getting, again, a little bit of a bounce back. I think investors are taking a step back and assessing, is this a short-term issue, a few months, or is this a long-term issue, a few years? And I think they're coming down on the side that this is going to be a few months before we get some resolution, or at least we start to see the virus being solved.
Now, we always talk about being a long-term investor, looking at the fundamentals, not being reactionary. But is there a way to take advantage of some of this here where maybe some stocks that shouldn't get hit are getting hit because of coronavirus?
Well, I think a lot of the travel companies, certainly. So again, the Deltas, the cruise lines, the airlines in general, you know, all of them have shut down operations. So it will have a big impact on their bottom line when they report next quarter, not this quarter, but next quarter. And again, a lot of the companies that have extensive operations in China, even Apple is feeling some of the impacts as they shut down some of their operations, may not be getting enough iPhones out of China to satisfy demand. So it will have an impact with a lot of different companies, many that you're not really thinking about.
Is there, I'm trying to think of the forward guidance that some of these companies are giving us as we're in earnings season. I imagine that there's going to be some changes going forward because they can't predict what will happen with this.
Well, that's just it. And we did hear from Starbucks. We did hear from a couple companies where they are making that announcement in conjunction with their earnings. And the stocks did take a hit initially because, again, we don't know if this is something that's going to linger on and have more than just a one or maybe two quarter impact, if it's going to be something much longer than that. And that's the hard part of trying to assess what is a company worth today and then what kind of impact will they have on their earnings picture going forward.
What do you think of earnings season so far? What have you found particularly interesting?
Well, you know, earnings season is always kind of interesting in general because companies, as we just talked about, do talk down current conditions or maybe their going forward guidance, and they try to bring Wall Street down a little bit, and then surprise, they always beat estimates. So we see usually somewhere between 65 and 75% of the companies that report beating estimates, and it happens quarter after quarter after quarter. So you kind of think that at least Wall Street might learn that, but they're always surprised when companies beat estimates because they do a pretty good job of managing those earnings throughout the quarter in an effort to beat those estimates when they get to the earnings season. So as a result, we try to keep an eye more on the top line and revenue, and that's more important for us as far as the health of the overall company.
And when we see days like Friday, and there could be more of those to come, who knows, especially with how this coronavirus is playing out, there are questions about whether you should buy on the dip or not. What's your advice to investors these days?
Well, if you have cash, I wouldn't hurry up and buy, but I would stage it in over a period of time. So on days like a Friday, maybe take 20% of the money that you would put in the market, put it in that day, maybe wait another 2-3 weeks, do another set, and stage it in over the course of the next month or two. So there's nothing that says you have to hurry up and buy today, but I would go ahead and stage it in over the course of maybe 2 or 3 months or so. As things develop, one of the things that we'll be looking for is, again, the amount of or the number of infected cases kind of flattening out. It's still kind of in a parabolic mode, but if it flattens out, when it flattens out, that's, I think, when you'll start to see the markets breathe a sigh of relief.
Sounds like a time to remind people you really can't time the market because a lot of people don't want to put it in stages. They want to figure out, okay, where's the bottom of this particular stock or the S&P in general or something like that. That's when I want to put my money in.
Well, and just, you know, if we go back 3 weeks ago, everybody was talking about this market's going to go to 35,000, 40,000 and beyond. And, you know, we're trying to put as much money in as possible for fear they would miss out on it, get blindsided by something like this, and their next reaction is, I got to sell everything and sit in cash and wait for this storm to pass. That's a very difficult way to go about investing in the market. So it needs to be systematic and need to have a steady approach to it and not worry too terribly much about some of these particular issues. Keep a focus more on the economic ones.
Good info. Paul Nolte, Portfolio Manager, Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
Up next, opting out of police requests for footage from your smart doorbell.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Amazon's Ring doorbell app now lets you stop receiving notifications from police departments requesting video. Let's learn more from Shelley Palmer, host of Think About This podcast. With Shelley Palmer and Ross Martin, you can visit him online, thinkaboutthis.fm, on Twitter, at thinkaboutthis. Shelley, so how would this work? If you have the Ring doorbell, what, you start getting push notifications that the cops want your video?
Well, at the moment, you can opt in or opt out of a service that makes the videos available for community watch. And there's a lot to be thought through on this one. You know, you have your personal needs, and then there's the needs of your neighbors and your neighborhood, and then there's the rights of individuals. I don't think this one is as cut and dried as we'd like it to be. Certainly, it makes sense if you live in a community that would benefit from you making your security camera footage available. As a good citizen, it makes sense. But a lot of people are pushing back, saying that it's a violation of civil rights, and they just don't want to do it. So Amazon, knowing this, is making it opt-in, opt-out. And there are, of course, places around the country where these kinds of video experiences are already illegal to share without a subpoena. So it's under a Fourth Amendment considered privacy, and then those tapes or the recordings, they're not tapes, they're video recordings, are when asked for by police without a warrant would be illegal search and seizure. So this is far from cut and dried. It's different in every jurisdiction. And that's quite controversial, as it should be, by the way.
Do police need to go to the individual homeowner, whether it's an area where they need a subpoena or not? Or is there a way that they can have Amazon turn over this video? Does Amazon keep this? Do they collect it?
So they do. I don't believe they can subpoena it. I can get to it from Amazon without a subpoena. They can ask you because it belongs to you, and then they have an option. I don't think they can get it from Amazon actually anywhere without a subpoena. And then there's the question of face recognition, right? Are they going to run it through a face recognition algorithm, or are they just going to use it to verify? This has gotten quite controversial, too. As you know, we've spoken about San Francisco as a jurisdiction now prohibiting face recognition from the security cameras on the streets. And are you going to add to this collectively or not? I know we're talking about Ring, but oddly enough, Apple has a product with Logitech, which they called the Circle 2, and their drop cam, they encrypt all the video end to end. And so it's, even if it's subpoenaed, it's useless. It only belongs to you. And part of the Apple privacy story is that your drop cam footage would be your drop cam footage and no one else's. So this is really quite a hot topic. And I don't think there's a short soundbite way to be right or wrong. And I think it requires a lot of conversation, and everyone should get involved. This is a new world we live in, right? We can take pictures of everything. We can take video of everything. And with deep fakes being plugins now in our smartphones, is that footage real, or has it been doctored in some way? And who is the chain of custody on that video? And how do you know what you're really looking at? These are all gigantic new problems for a new age. And I think it would be in everyone's best interest for everyone listening to do a little bit of research and get involved and figure out what it is.
So what process do you recommend? I mean, first you say you can turn off the alerts and say no. Also, you talked about posting this, and should you refrain from posting Ring video? Does that change the game?
So look, anything you post is public by definition, and my thinking has evolved over the years pretty dramatically. I now think that all of your data should be kept as private as possible for every reason that you can't imagine. Most people do not understand how their data is used, and they're not told how their data is used. And so until we are told how it's used, and until we are aware of who's collecting it, I think the best thing you can do is opt out of absolutely everything. It will, in some cases, diminish the quality of the customization and personalization you experience online. But the benefit to you is that you are safer in the world in which you live. And I don't mean safer from someone doing something bad to you personally. I mean bad for society. There's so much I've written. You can find it at ShellyPalmer.com about how your data is being used. And not to put too fine a point on it, last night, Google showed an ad in the Super Bowl called Loretta about an elderly man who'd lost his wife, a widower, and he wanted Google Assistant to remember all the highlights of his life for him. I'm sorry. Why would you tell that to Google Assistant? Why do you want Google enriching your profile with that information? And why didn't Google say that when they get that information, they're going to use it and sell it to other advertisers? Like, they did none of that. And I don't think anybody watching understood the depth of the knowledge Google would assimilate from that simple act of just identifying things in photographs of your own. So I'm not sure what the upside or downside is. And whenever you don't know, best to do is opt out.
Really, really good insight, especially that last part. Thank you so much, Shelley Palmer. You can find him and his podcast on Twitter at Think About This.
Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Helping us this afternoon is Matt Shapiro, President, MWS Capital here in Chicago. And Matt, we have two familiar names this afternoon.
Yeah, two big blue chips, two with a lot of China exposure and pulling back from the coronavirus. First being Starbucks, Jennifer. Big blue chip company, had really a blowout quarter with those crucial global comps, ticket prices, same tickets Same-store sales up 6% in the United States, $7 billion in revenue for the holiday quarter. Just a real blowout quarter. Probably a little bit was priced into the stock. The stock had gone up to 100, had come back to about 80 on the news. And, of course, closing half the stores in China with, of course, the turbulence we had on Friday. Definitely time to take a look at the at Starbucks. I think obviously the coronavirus is extremely serious. No one can predict how long it's going to be. But, you know, this is only 5% of their stores. And the CEO in the earnings call thinks they're going to get through it over the next couple months.
All right. So that's your first pick. What's your second pick?
Second, Disney, which, again, has earnings actually tomorrow. They're going to be closely watched. Disney, of course, has big theme parks in China and Hong Kong with the protesters, and Shanghai, which has now been closed because of the coronavirus. That's going to affect definitely results at their theme parks. But investors increasingly are closely watching Disney and its streaming, which, of course, is taking on both Amazon and Netflix. So that will be the closely watched metric tomorrow in the earnings report. But take advantage again. Big blue chip stock had a big jump last year and then back on the China worries.
Yeah, certainly popular names for sure. His two picks today, Starbucks, ticker symbol SBUX, and Disney, ticker symbol DIS.
Matt Shapiro, President, MWS Capital, thanks for joining us. And if you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.